In general, in the tshuvas, and it's a method that we use, whether we are aware of it or not, we use it constantly, even as private people, as yechidim, not only as rabbis. And of course, the method has its enormous dangers, but it's worthwhile to analyze it. This is the method that it's called the tzirufim, the combinations. What does it mean, the combinations? Let's define it like this. It's usually a method used for kules, even though the same thing may go for chumres, as we are going to see. But the method is basically the following. If you don't have a sufficient basis for a certain opinion, meaning you can't say 100% that this is so-and-so, that this is the halacha. So very often you are going to use other tzedodim, and in combination with sufficient tzedodim, sometimes 2, 3, 4, you come up with your opinion. So the common example, let's say in our own personal lives, right? We say, all right, let's go to a restaurant that, what about the Hechsher? Well, I wouldn't rely on the Hechsher for meat. But since it's only, I'm going to have a piece of cake, without really analyzing whether it's a good justification or not. But it happens all the time. We make this kind of cheshbonus. We make this kind of tzirufim. In other words, even though the Hechsher I wouldn't rely on 100%, but since the shilas are really not very serious, so therefore in combination, so we are going to rely on him. People, for instance, say, well, I rely on the OU, but not on meats, for instance. What does it mean? It means tzirufim. You are intuitively, like, you rely on this tzirufim. In other words, since something is not enough of a basis for a decision, there is room for uncertainty. But if you have enough tzedotim for room for uncertainty, then you come up with this opinion. Now, as we are going to see, the tzedotim, what we're going to call the tzad, the tzedotim, sometimes it's a svore, which is not 100%. So we say like this, well, since this inyan is not that serious, so this svore is sufficient for this inyan. You realize the subtlety and the difficulty of making such a judgment, but this kind of judgments are made. But let me tell you, what is the source? Now, where do we find in the Mishneh such a concept, the concept of tzirufim? And it's brought down, really, that one of the mekoiros for the idea of tzirufim. This is a Mishneh in Edios. It says like this in Perek Aleph Mishneh Hei, Velomo mazkirin divrei hayochid bein amerubi. The Mishneh asks, when there is a machloikes, why do we have to mention the tzad of the yochid? Chachomi moimrim such and such. Rabbi Yehuda Omer such and such. Who cares what Rabbi Yehuda says, since after all, hoil vein halocho elo kedivrei amerubi, because after all, that's not the haloche. So in the Mishneh itself, the Loshin is not 100% clear. I'll tell you right away what the pshat is. The Mishneh says like this, Sheim yire bezin es divrei hayochid veyismoy cholov. It's not so clear that if the Bezin sees the divrei hayochid veyismoy cholov, but in the Pirush Here they bring down the Toisefte, and in the Toisefte of Edios it's 100% clear what it means. In the Toisefte in Edios, it brings down on this Mishneh, it brings down the real pshat. What does it really mean? Halocho kedivrei hamerubin. Loi huzkuru divrei hayochid bein hamerubin. The only reason that sometimes you mention the yochid, elo shemohutzrach lohem sho. Sometimes the situation is such, what we call shas adchak, the Toisefte calls shemohutzrach lohem sho, veyismechu aleihem. At that point, you can be soimech. In other words, there is such a thing as a tzad in shasat chak. This is the mokor that under certain circumstances, even though the halach is kedivrei hamerubin, yochid v'ramim halacho kerabim, but since for there is a yochid that said it, and like the meforshim say, lo yomdu leminyan, it's not like a yochid in the Sanhedrin that is voted, that when they vote, his das is completely botul mevutul. In the Sanhedrin, the divrei hayochid is completely botul once they vote. But since it's not a Sanhedrin, so therefore you can say that the divrei hayochid is completely mevutul. It's just a haloche, that yochid verabim haloche kerabim, and more. There is an incredible Rambam that says like this. You know that there is also later on in Edios there is the famous story of Rab Akavio ben Malale Lenisan. There is a story that Akavio ben Malale was put in Cherem, I think it says, because he held his opinion even against the Rabbi. So Bishas Misosoi Omar Livnoi, I'm reading here Perek Hey Mishneh Zayin. Bishas Misosoi Omar Livnoi, Beni Chazor Becho, Bedalet Vorim Sheoisi Oimer. In the four things that I held against everybody, you change your mind. Because since Rabbi Akavio ben Malale is dying, now is the time to join the majority. So the son asks him, Velomo Loicho Zarto Becho. So why didn't you change your mind? If you are telling me to change my mind, so why didn't you change your mind? Omaloi ani shomati mipiyu merubim, because this is what I heard from the mouth of the merubim. I am convinced that that's what the merubim said. All my chaverim argue and they say, no, the merubim didn't say it, but I have to follow what I believe. I believe that the merubim said my opinion, but you. You only heard it from me that the Meruvim say so, but it's a Shitas Yochid. Listen to the words. Mutav lehoniach divrei hayochid velechos bedivrei amerubim. Very interesting word. Mutav leechos divrei hayochid. Says the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis. Mutav. Not that this is must be, but it's mutav. So according to the Rambam, when you don't have an actual Sanhedrin, it's just a mutav. It's a tremendous chiddush that according to the Rambam, the word mutav that Akavio Me'malalel used to tell his son not to follow to follow the majority is begeder mutav. In other words, it's like but it's not a chiyuv. You know, it's the only time that you have a chiyuv to follow the majority is in a Sanhedrin. Outside of the Sanhedrin, it's just a mutav, according to the Rambam. So I saw other people argue on the Rambam, but lechol apoches, it's not the same category as being from a Sanhedrin. So therefore, b'shas adchak, you are mitzarev the situation plus the das yochid. That's a case of a tziru. You are mitzarev the shas adchak, or like you find in Hilchoy Streifes, hefsed merubo, with sometimes an opinion which is not the opinion of the majority. So this is the mokor for a combination of the circumstances. How difficult the circumstances are. That was, you can say that the halacha is the same under normal circumstances or when it's a shas adchak. Yeah, you want to ask something else.
That use of the word mutav is that his shita or is that or
that's the question. The question is he saying maybe that's his opinion, right? But if so, you are creating a new machloikes akavya ben malal and the chachomim. I mean, if you are going to say that this is the opinion of akavya ben malal, then it's a new shita. And we never find that's one of the things that he argues with the Chachomim. In other words, he actually believed this the Rabbi, right? So it's hard to say that the Muta is part of his opinion. So the simple pshat is that when he says Muta, he's reflecting the Halochet, that Yochid v'Rabim, Halocho k'Rabim, is a Muta and not a Chiyu, when it's not in Sanhedrin, of course. Now, in the Meforshim, you have in the Mishneh, now as we said the Pshat in the Mishneh, like the Toisefte, that Sheim Yire Bezin Es Divra Yochid VeYismoy Cholov, means Im Yire HaYochid B'Shas Adchak VeYismoy Cholov. But many people say that I'm going to show you the Toisefte Shantz right here on the spot. Doesn't learn the Mishneh like the Toisefte. In other words, again, the Toisefte learns that the combination that you are making is Shas Adchak together with Das Yochid. The Toisefte Shantz, and I have to read it to you because it's in general a very interesting Toisefte Shantz. It says like this: Sheim Yiru Bezen Divra HaYochid, not Shas Adchak. Yiru is a lotion liking. Nireli. Here. Nireli. I like to say something. So what does it mean according to the Toisefte Shantz? If the Amoiroim, listen to the words he uses. Chegoin. Ha Amoiroim sheposku ha'alochoist. The Amoiroim that very often had to make decisions between Tanoim, whenever the halacha wasn't nifsak already from before, so they had to sit down and decide according to which tane we are going to do. Ukesheroim tam hayochid, and they like the opinion of the yochid over the opinion of the rabbim. Yecholim lifsoi komoisoi. So here we have a new combination. The relative merit of the Svoris. You hear this already, a more dangerous point of view. That you can be Metzaret. If someone is a poiset, right? And he says, to me it seems that the Svoris of the Yochid is a better Svoris. So if I wouldn't see an opinion of the Yochid, then I say, listen, my Svoris is nothing. The Mishneh said so, my svora is botul mevutul. But the moment I find that das yochid like my svora, so the poisek has a right to pass him like the das yochid if he likes the svora. You hear how far the Toisefte Shantz goes, right? Again, according to the Toisefte Shantz, we are not talking about shasat chakas atziruf. We are being metzarev the relative merit of the svora against the rabbi. And, but it's very, very schwer. Yeah.
But wasn't that referring to the Amoroim doing
that? Amoroim versus Tanoim. In other words, the Amoroim that saw Machloikes in Tanoim. Right? And they say Chachomim say such and such. And this Mande Omar said such and such. One Mande Omar says the Toisefte Shantz, if they really like the Svor of the Yochid, that overweighed Yochid v'Rabim Halokha k'Rabim. Right?
But how can we apply that today?
No, wait. I mean, we're not. I mean, of course, I'm just telling you the mekoiros for asvore being atziruf. Sheim nishtaku dvorov, because if his words, the words of the Yochid, would have not been mentioned in the Mishneh, even if the svore would be tremendous, we couldn't do anything about it. You can't argue with somebody bigger, but if you have a machloikes among people who are bigger than you, so you have a right, of course, at a certain level, when your level is that you are a bal svore, that you can say, since I like the svore of the Yochid, I can rely on the svore of the Yochid. Ve'al smach ze yecholim lisek dvorov shekvar omro toiru acharei bramim lehatois ve'af agav shelo niskablu divrei Yochid bizman rishon, even though at the time there was a majority against the Yochid, v'lo yiskimu rabim imoi k'sheyovoi dor acher v'yaskimu rabim letaimoi hi alohi k'moiso. Now, as according to the Tois Veshans, that goes into the category that the Rambam says that adayen asheriye bayomim o'eim. What does it mean bayomim o'eim? If your svore, if you, according to your usage of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshet Bohem, you come out with something that you can argue on a Doros Rishonim, you have a power to argue. So he says, but if we don't find a svore like yours among the Tanoim, right, he's speaking to the Amoroim, if the Amoroim won't find a svore like him by the Tanoim, what right do they have to argue? It's botul mevutul, it's like ongenum, it's like a psak haloche, it's like you can't go against it. But now listen to this. This is really amazing. Shekol ha-toiron nembro kein le-Moshe. Because this is the way the Torah was given to Moshe. Ponim le-tamei uponim le-taher. Because when Moshe was given the Torah, of course, it means the Torah shebal peh. The Torah Shebaal Peh includes ponim lekan uponim lekan. I don't know if you realize how shocking this statement is. The omruloi ad mosai namoy dalabiru, which means at a certain point we have to come to a decision. The omruloi macheri ramim lehatois. You want to make a decision? Follow the majority. Mi'u elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. This is pshat in elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. What is pshat elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim? Actually, the both sides were said to Moshe Rabbeinu b'Sinai. Not, you're the incredible thing. In other words, anything which Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, the haloche is not clear. The haloche is tzedodim lekan and tzedodim lekan. So the question: so how will I make the decision? Well, sit down and figure out what the majority thinks. In other words, as long as the haloche le Moshe Misinai, the Torah Shebaal Peh, allows for two tzedodim, then it's elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim. And as long as it's elu ve'elu divrei Elohim chayim, as long as you have a das yochid, you can rely on it. It's a shocking statement by the Tosafot.
The Tosafot holds that when the Amoraim are a row.
Again?
The Tosafot is the finish, that when the Amoraim are a row. If the Amoraim are a row, they hold like the Yochid.
Exactly. In other words, if the Amoraim are a row, in other words, they have to decide. And they did. Yeah, of course. Yeah, but they decide against the rabbim of the Tanoim.
But if a pulsate, if you have, let's say, an Achron, right?
I
mean, we say
an Achron vis-a-vis Rishonim.
Yeah, and if you have Rob Rishonim say one thing, right?
Yeah.
And he likes the svara of one of the Rishonim.
Yeah.
Yochid, right?
Yeah.
That Achron and Rob the Achronim also go like Rob the Rishonim.
Yeah.
You can't, that Rishonim, that Achron.
That does show that you're wrong, you see.
When it comes to
Of course, remember, I told you in the beginning that this method goes on chumris as well as kulis. I mean, we're not talking about kulis, right?
I'm saying,
Blineder, right? We'll see an achroin that says like this. It's true. The majority of the Rishonim hold, let me give you an example, Shishim Ribui for Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Shishim Ribui. But it's so unlikely, right? That's so unlikely. Into our mind, of course, Rav Rishonim say Shishim Ribui, that you need Shishim Ribu in order to make it at Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. But that's so unlikely, because that would mean that no city in the world ever had the Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Only the Jews in the Midbar had a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. That what comes out, because somebody made a cheshbon. What was considered a big city in the olden days? Nineveh, right? Nineveh Hoir HaGdoilo, right? How many people did you have in Nineveh? Right? So what does it say over there? 120,000. What? So you had 500,000, a half a million. That was a Hoir HaGdoilo. So you have 600,000 people walking through the street at one time. You never had it. So does that make sense that it should be a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa only with Shishim Ribui? It makes a lot more sense that all you need is the Zayin Amo, a wide street, and that makes it a Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. Achroinim say it. That since it's a machloikes anyway, even though the Tezayin Amo is a das yochid, but it's a das yochid that's miskabel al das. Here you have a perfect example. That you have an achroin making such a statement. To me, if no Rishon would say what I say, okay. But to me, it makes sense that Rishus HaRabim Doraisa, you don't need Shishim Ribui. That's just an example of that's Atziruf Lechumre, the same type of Atziruf. They found Rishonim, but in the, I think the Mishnah Berurah, when he makes the count, I think he says Shishim Ribui is the majority. But the Svore of the Achronim that say, if it doesn't make sense, oh, why should I be Machmir, or why should I be Mekel, right? Especially in cases of Chumre, right? That's Isur Shabbos. What I imagine he means, I mean, what he says is, he told Moshe Rabbeinu ponim lekan uponim lekan, right? What he means probably is that in those things that he did not say aloche psuke, right? Meaning, there are things that Hashem did not tell Moshe Rabbeinu aloche psuke. There are those things. And in those things, he only told him ponim lekan uponim lekan. Even though that's not what he says. Right? What he says is that this is how the Ribbono Shel Olam taught Moshe Rabbeinu. Ponim lekanu, ponim lekan, and therefore elu veelu divrei Elokim chayim. And therefore we have a right to take on one of the signs, because it will still be Torah, right? If it wouldn't be Torah, how can we take a chance and go according to the Yochid? I thought it would be a very interesting Tosfos Shans to remember. It's a very chiddush dike Tosfos Shans that's how we learn Pshat in elu veelu divrei Elokim chayim.
Does anybody call it
on him
explicitly?
On the Pshat in the Mishneh.
No, in the Pshat that
Elu Elu Divrei Elokim
Chayim. So that you can have a Yachid, if you hold like a Yachid, you could hold like a Yachid connected around and feel like this one.
Let me tell you, if it wouldn't be that I found so often in Achroinim, so often, this idea that to me, Lav Davkin cases of Roy, right? But for instance, you have early Achroinim and late Achroinim, right? I mean, you have Reb Moshe will say, well, it's true that some Sefer says that, but I don't understand it, so therefore we can't follow it, for instance. And he says, of course, I'm botul mevutul kereg that some Sefer, but I don't hear this for it, then I can't follow it. The concept is the same.
Nobody's really
told it for one instance. On the Tosfos Shans. Right, I mean, the idea, I mean, I'm just telling you.
When Rove Amorayim, like the Das Hayochim,
Right, in other words, because the psak. No. You see, because in the time of the Gemara, right, they sat down and they decided how to paskin. But lavdavke, because very often you find among the Amoiroim, right, this one paskins this way. Now, sometimes there is an Imno Vegomru, like in the times of Ravashi. There is an Imno Vegomru. But before Ravashi, you have individual Amoiroim paskining like individual Tanoim.
Right. If there's a Mishnah that says halacha karevim, they make it to you on an Amora like that.
But yeah, lav dafke. We have cases in the Gemara that it said that the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov afilu neged rabim because mishnosu kavinoki. We have certain clothing that goes up.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm telling you, Tanoim keneged the rabbim of Tanoim. So Amoiroim made rules that certain Tanoim are superior than the Roim. I mean, right? I mean, there are many cases by who else? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, except in three things, he goes keneged rabbim. Right? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel ben Mishnosenu, even if the rabbim argue. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, even if the majority argue. So we do find such a concept that Amoiroim decided that the svoris of a certain person, Kavenoki, what does it mean? Mishnas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Kavenoki. It means that the quality of his svore is superior than the idea of Rabbi Beyochi.
When you go to Shans, you have to understand that those Gemara, that cloud that says that Mishnah was the Kavenoki means that the rule that the Amoraim.
The Amoiroim decided. Okay. The Amoiroim decided.
Of course.
We do see it all the time in the Gemara that certain Amoiroim passed like certain Tanoim. Like even Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Mishnah saying, you know that there is a machloikis whether everybody holds that way. Kol mokim sheshema Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Mishnah saying, chutz of the three. Whether everybody holds it or some Amoroim hold it. It's lav dafke the rule of all the Amoroim.
But if the Tosfos Shas is not right, the Tosfos Shas is fakir. According to the Tosfos Shas, a Yochid Amora cannot pass him like a Yochid Tan.
It's not true at all. It's not true.
Dafke Rabim Amoroim. Dafke Rabim Amoroim.
No, he doesn't say that. He says, if there we sit down, right, like in the times of Ravashi. That the situation was such that we had to decide according to the roiv. So the aloha became according to the roiv.
There's a roiv, a roiv can choose a yochid tan.
When they sit down together and they decide.
Yeah.
But whenever they didn't decide together.
So a yochid amora can choose a yochid tan?
Of course.
From the Tosfos Shas.
Of course, he says. The amoi roiv, it didn't say roiv. It says afterwards, when we have to make a decision, we count. But in the beginning, it says, the Amoiroim had the right. Don't say Roy. Ukeshero Amoiroim, Sheposku halochois, doesn't mean Rabbi, right? Rove Paskins, Abaye Paskins, Amoiroim Paskins on their own. And sometimes they argue with each other who is the Alochelai, right? So they decided according to the svore, right? According to the svore, he says, who they like more. When the decision had to be made, right? Like in the times of Ravashi, then it had to be an imno vegomro. You couldn't get every amoiro to paskin the way he likes. So the amoiroim together decided which is the svore that they like more. Now,
in case it's different from the lashon of the Mishnah. Once the Tosfos Shas indicates how he understands the Mishnah, then you have to say that means even an individual or an individual based in, because that's what the Mishnah is talking about. She'im Yirah based it, right? So I'm saying it's the context of the explanation of Tosfos Shas is addressed to an individual based in, not to a majority opinion of a large group.
You mean an individual person locked up with the whole, all everybody together? Yeah. Okay. Now, as examples of this principle, the principle of tzirufi. So I chose, I mean, there is no method that's more widely used than this method of Tzirufim by the Achronim. Just tell you an example, which is Derech Agav. I chose Tshuves that the information given is in itself interesting information. Reb Moshe, for instance, has a Tshuve concerning insects in vegetables, for instance. I mean, how careful do you have to be with insects, with bugs, for instance, in cabbage, for instance, or cauliflower? So he has a very interesting chumre svore. The kula svore is simple. Any vegetable which is muhze, that you don't find bugs, you don't have to worry about looking for it. You don't even have to look for it. You can just eat it straight. That's the halacha. It's muhze. So, in Simen Chofei of Chelek Shlishi, Yoredeye, he says like this, but he says, in reality, he says, what would have happened in the United States, for instance, if they wouldn't spray chemicals on the vegetables? I mean, Hovaya, they spray chemicals that otherwise it would be full of bugs, it would be full of insects. Comes out, according to this, that the mean itself, right, is muhzek, yes, to have bugs. Eloma, you are saying, but probably they spray. So we have a rule. Roiv hatolui b'maise ein holchim acharov. Now, a roiv can only tell you a situation. A roiv can never tell you what happened. Roiv hatolui b'maise. Like, we don't say roiv shchitos ksheirois. No such a roiv a roiv shchitos ksheirois. We say roiv metzuin el tzei shchitem mumchin hein, and therefore the shchita is ksheirois. But if there would be no such a roiv as we couldn't say roiv hashchitos ksheirois, because roiv hatoloi b'maise is not included in the chidush of the Torah Rabbim lehatois. So therefore, what comes out? Exactly. So that's a maise. You have to spray. That's a roiv hatoloi b'maise. Roiv hatoloi b'maise. You can't rely on. So what do you have? The real nature of the vegetable. The real nature is that there is bugs. Otherwise, they wouldn't spray. You hear?
That's
what Moshe says. So the Moshe uses that. I'll tell you right away.
Oh,
so wait. So let me just tell you how he comes out at the end. Just what? Yeah.
I don't understand that description from Shchita.
Just the opposite. Shchita. There is no such a roiv shchitos ksheiros. We don't say roiv shchitos ksheiros. What do we say? Roiv metzuin eitzel shchite mumchin hei. You are not paskening up a maise. You are deciding on a status. The status of the shoichet is that a mumche. When a mumche shechts, it's kosher because the mumche shechted. You hear the difference? If you would say, it's not on the. It's more. It's not on the maise. It's on the gabbro.
The farmer is interested in saving his money.
Oh, so wait. I just want to tell you, right, we're going to come to it. You're right. But you hear this for what Ramosha says. So let me read it to you, because it's really a really good svore lehachmir. Shekivun shebemidino zu. Not because the cabbage has no bugs. Etc. He has the word Yesh Ulai, etc. And here comes Lemaise, Aloch Lemaise. Avol b'dieve, says Remoishe, ein lochush. B'dieve, ein lochush, which means if somebody gave you, cooked b'di'evet means if somebody gave you cooked cabbage at your or something that you can't check anymore, you can eat it b'di'evet. You know, it's lechatchile. You have to check everything. Everything which is sprayed has to be checked according to Moshe lechatchile. Why? Shekan adifo. This is a little bit better than roi batolu v'maise. Why? Like you said, the chazok al balei hagano sheyasu mashu l'teivas panososon. In other words, it's a chazok on the farmer that he won't ruin his crop. So if so, it's not only on the maitse that they do it. It's a chazok if it would be like just a maitse, that's what they do, that is a hoi vatolui b'maitse. But if it's the nature of the farmer, which is he is careful with his crop, then it becomes a chazok on the farmer, so that's stronger.
And he says, did he ever get a word?
B'di'evet it works. B'di'evet. It's an incredible chumre. I don't know, it's not known. According to Reb Moshe, there is no such a thing in the United States, because everything is sprayed in the United States. There is no such a thing, lechatchile, as a vegetable that doesn't need checking. Deloy marium noson, vechein yesh lehoirosh lemaise. That what? That b'di'evet it's okay. If somebody gave you coleslaw, whatever, you don't have to worry about it.
In America, the yeshiva, like the, I'm talking about the, don't eat outside unless they know for sure it's a person that's extra special checks it.
In everything, all vegetables.
Especially, what you said, coleslaw cabbage.
Yeah. Okay, so this is Moshe's pesach, let lechatchile, not to do it. The lettuce. Right, and he says yesh gam ken levoitom lechatchile. Right, even in the United States, it usually comes clean. Lechatchile, you have to check it. Avol b'deyevet ein lesor ki ein motzri kol kach toiloim bohem. Except romaine letters, he says yes, but regular letters, he says you don't have to worry about. Now, what is he doing? In other words, this is a typical case of tziru. In other words, if he would be 100% sure that his svore is a good svore, that this is a clear case of roi vatolu b'maise, right? Would there be any difference between the chatchil and b'di'evet? There would be no difference. There you just couldn't eat anything that comes from vegetables. But since it says ulai, in other words, since the svore itself is not 100% for sure, it's maybe 80% for sure, and the shasat chak of b'di'evet. B'di'evet is also a level of shasat chak. B'di'evet, what are you going to do? Throw it out? What are you going to do? Embarrass somebody? So it's a shasat chak. Put it together and you come out with the halacha. Lechatchile, check it. B'di'evet, don't check it. This is a typical case of tziruf. And derech agav, the halacha is important to remember that according to Reb Moshe, lechatchile, there is no such a thing as a clean vegetable. I mean, everything which is sprayed, I mean, I don't mean things that are not sprayed, but everything which is sprayed is in itself a raya, that it has bugs, and therefore you have to check it, even though you are sure you won't find anything, because the chemicals work.
Here
for sure. Here, you don't have, you know, it's not lechatchile, that's even b'di'evet. I mean, here it's even b'di'evet, you can't eat something that hasn't been checked. Another example, yeah.
What's the difference of saying, why can't you say that the field is a sprayed field?
Right.
And that sounds like the same Matthias is saying that.
No, it's a sachazok. You can't say that. You know, sachazok on the people, that people watch their crop. Sachazok. Right? But Reb Moshe holds that is a svore which he's not sure about. Because if he would be sure of that svore, then the other svore of roi vatolu b'maise would disappear. And therefore, even lechatchile, you wouldn't have to check vegetables. You hear what I'm saying? So, but Reb Moshe doesn't know which svore is better. He has two svores in his mind. And he can't decide the relative value of the relative merit of each one of the svores. You hear the situation? So what does he have to do? He has to deal with a tziruf. He can't decide one way or the other because his svores are not clear enough. So what does he have to do? He's mitzaref. What is the decision of the tziruf? Lechatchile check, but they haven't done. This is a case of tziruf. There is no other word for it. Because if he would know for sure either side, right? If the Svar of Reva Toloi B'Maise would be the right Svar, then for sure you couldn't, you would have to check even B'Di'evet. If the Svar of Chazoke would be good, then it would be even Lechatchile. So what does do is Mitzaref, and he comes out with some kind of a compromise. That is true. Toshin Chobet.
See, it's changed. Now they stop praying a lot. So that makes it better or worse?
If they stop praying and you still don't find, wait. What about if they stop praying and you still don't find? Then it's better. It's better. If they stop praying and they still don't find, let's say you checked and you checked and you checked, and the consensus is it's clean, then you wouldn't. In such a case, you wouldn't have done it. Theoretically.
In this Svara of Mauritius, you have to know the Maisa before they start spraying what percentage of vegetables are muksa. In order to, isn't that an important factor also?
What do you mean, the percentage of vegetables that are sprayed?
No, before they start spraying, there's only 34 years they've been spraying vegetables.
In other words, what was the situation before?
That many,
I guess you would be right. In other words, if they spray because of the mute, right?
That's why they started. 10% of the pollution from the vegetables. That's why they're.
I'm not sure.
Like in where he was, that this certain type of vegetable was muksak. It starts off like saying that it was muksak where he came from in Europe.
Be Europe, right? You're right. Oh, you are meaning Shedarko Laslia, but here not.
That's what he said. He said it's already muksak. And without the spraying,
that's
right. Europe. No, so you see these vegetables already,
so
that it has, without spraying, it has.
No, you mean that he transfers the chazok of Europe to the United States?
Sure, that's the chazok on the actual vegetables. It's not chazok on the
land. Different bugs.
Avo b'midino seinu kan ben kameimu pitrio is ben kroit, right? Cabbage. Kimat sheloi nirabu toiloim. The eino me'aminim shedarkon leslia. No, he just does the opposite. He says, I can transfer the chazok of Europe to the United States. But then he starts with a svogel, but maybe in the United States, it's also darkon. He said, you can transfer. I mean, every place has its own chazok. He says clearly, even though there was darkon leslia, bebedino seinu, kan loy motzui klal. No, so he says not to transfer. Second example, another very big chidush, at this time Lekule of Moshe in Simen Mem. You know, very often we have the containers, let's say coffee containers, right? Once they are empty, and we want to keep it for ourselves. Does it need villa or doesn't it need villa? So the conventional wisdom says, why not? I mean, it comes from goyim, you have to be toivel it, right? So Reb Moshe comes up with a very chiddush dike svora, and he says, well, we find, brings a ray from my ser sheni that the clean that the fruits were in, but the money can be used, like it's like the kli becomes bottled to the fruit. And then when the fruits are taken out, the kli is like a new kli. It's like you made it yourself. So comes out, he says, when the coffee is finished, then this is when the keli becomes a keli. Before, it was fruit, halachically. It was bottled to the fruit. It's a tremendously chiddush de kesvora. And again, if it would be 100%, right? Would there be a difference between metal and glass? Metal is midoraisa. You need tvila midoraisa, according to most poskim. Metal, you need tvila midoraisa. Glass is only the rabbona, right? But if this svara is a svara, of course, it wouldn't make a difference. But at the end, Reb Moshe, since he recognizes a tremendous chiddush, he comes up like this. That on glass containers, even lechatchila, you can rely on this svara on glass containers. On metal containers, b'diyeved, you can rely on it. What is that? That's a tziruf. That's a perfect case of tziruf. In other words, if Reb Moshe would be 100% sure of his svara, it would be absolutely no difference, metal containers or glass containers. Right? If the svara is true, the metal containers also become bottled to the coffee. Right? Elomar, Reb Moshe has a 99%, he puts 99 points of merit to the svara, let's say. So therefore he says like this, Ona doira, I say I'm not going to take a chance. So lechatchile don't, b'diyeved, I still hold that the svara is good. But on glass, that's only the rabbonon, put together the fact that it's only the rabbonon plus the fact that my svara is good, and here you have the halacha, lechatchile, you don't have to be toivel glass containers. I don't know. What? I'm not knowing like Reb Moshe in this, huh?
There are table and not table.
People
not to be table? What? Are Matir? I hear somebody asked Rav Eliashuv and he did say he didn't. Either he didn't hear the svara or he didn't really hear it. I don't know, but yeah. Again? Broids from Switzerland. Could be. No, if you are using it, you don't. It's not. What? It's not called. If it's b'diyeved, also means if it's difficult. B'diyeved also means like if it's difficult, the mikveh is far away. You need the container right away.
Shabbos.
Or Shabbos, for instance, right? Another case, another example of tziruf.
Just more one clarification on that.
Yeah.
Let's say you buy that certain containers that are managed beautiful jars, you know. And it's likely that the person buying it for that purpose, he wants to use it afterwards.
Yeah. Somebody once told me that Reb Moshe doesn't apply. There are certain like liquors, for instance, that part of the value is the container itself. It comes with a very
jar of peanuts, it was also a mug.
Those kind of things that forget that what's inside is only like secondary to the container itself, that's what Reb Moshe certainly either Reb Moshe said it himself or Reb Moshe or the Andesuf Reb Moshe, but it doesn't that you're right. We're talking about a simple like coffee jar, for instance.
This idea that you're talking about, not so much the tziruf concept, but the idea of taking the das yochid from an earlier generation and because it appeals to your svara using it. It's not something that's unanimous about. Reb Moshe used it a lot. I mean, you're up a shulchan.
So a lot.
I mean, Shabur, on the other hand, it doesn't seem that he had that much.
You're right. That is the basic difference. If we are going to make an analysis of the difference between the Oruch HaShulchan approach and the Mishneh Brura approach, is that there are levels of like the Gemara calls it yorei hoiro. There are some people who enjoy psak. There are some people who you sense that they take it as a terrible burden, have to bask it. The Mishneh Brura, you feel that whatever he says is with tremendous feeling of, oh no, what do I have to do it for? I gotta do it. So that tremendous fear of the Mishneh Brura comes out in his Psak Halacha. I mean that he minimizes his own usage of svara. He minimizes the usage of svara, and the Oruch HaShulchan is the exact opposite. Right? He goes according to the traditional attitude of the Poisek that Ela Poisek Ela Dayin Asheri Bayomim Moeim. Right? I am the Poisek. The grandson, the son.
The Oruch HaShulchan was from the Gemara of Chaim Volozhin. That they learned in the Gemara with the Rishonim and Ein L'Dayin El Mash Ein
L'Dayin. In a row, that's it.
We have to have various places for that.
Of course.
But it's a different.
Much greater, of course.
From Chaim Volozhin and Chavetz Chaim had a different Derech of Machriya ben Adeus.
Right, right, right. It's a completely, completely, completely different.
Yeah.
Much closer. Much closer to Or HaShulchan. Why?
This Kedushin is something.
Right, but that's the Derech. I mean, the Derech is, this is your place, right? That's it. You go all out and you use your koyches that God gave you, and that's all. I mean, it's I mean, some people even claim that the Musar had an effect on. I mean, that the Oruch HaShulchan part, we won't go into it, but you know, there was a certain attitude of freedom, right? That you felt. I mean, there is a certain feeling by some people wrote about the Chofetz Chaim that he's Yiras Hashem, his Yiras Hashem, which was to the point of being an extreme, made it a tremendous burden. That's the word that I heard from one Godel once used it. That he's writing the Mishneh Berurah was a burden that he saw he has to do it because b'mokem shein anoshim, there's nobody else that's going to do it. I have to do it, but there was no enjoyment in it at all. Meaning, he didn't enjoy writing the Mishneh Berurah. I mean, I don't mean that he didn't enjoy learning Torah, but he didn't enjoy the responsibility of writing the Mishneh Berurah at all. He just felt a short tzricho lekach, and I have to do it, even if it means I have to go around from city to city selling the Mishneh Berurah. I have to do it. It's a burden, but he didn't enjoy it, including the selling. You know that he used to go around from town to town selling his own sforim. I mean, he hated it. I mean, his whole attitude towards the Mishneh Berurah is, I do it because there is nobody else to do it. This is what the show tzricho lekach. What?
Who said he hated?
Maybe the hated is that, but the word, it was very uncomfortable, right?
Who said?
Somebody told me over. Somebody who knew the Chofetz Chaim personally.
So now, as far as we've been makabel the Mishneh Berurah.
I mean, that's a very, very difficult statement to make. Yeah.
Or North HaShulchan that has much more, maybe liberal approach to halacha, and the other thing we hold from the.
I don't know. Liberal is a very dangerous word. It's not liberal. It's a more what?
Approach to the halacha.
It's the derech in halacha is like it's been said here. That's the derech of the goyen, right? You know that the goyen redid the whole Shulchan Aruch. You know that it says in the by the Talmidim of the Gro, it says that the Goyen wrote a new Shulchan Aruch. Are you aware of it? That he wrote a whole Shulchan, or he didn't, maybe he didn't write it down, but he had a whole Shulchan Aruch different than the Beis Yosef and the Ramah. In Minashomayim, they told him not to do it, so he decided not to. But he had a new Shulchan Aruch. It's a tremendous meaning. Why? Because that's the way you learned the Aloha. I mean, so what? I have to learn according to my seichel. So according to my seichel, what? Right, he was a rishon. He was a rishon. As a matter of fact, you know that his Reb Chaim asked him. There is an incredible story that Reb Chaim says. I can't remember in the details, but he asked him, "Are you an amoiro?" It's a zeloshin. That Reb Chaim voloshin or asked the Gro, "Are you at the level of an amoiro?" No, I'm sorry. Somebody asked Reb Chaim, was the Gro in the level of an Amoiro? So he said, no, Chas v'sholem, ulai ki arashbo v'aramban. That's his level. That's the Goyen's level. So for sure, he had his own Shulchan Aruch.
The question is by us, if a person is in a position of having to give sakhalacha, and he sees his Mishneh Berurah holds one way, and he sees this Reb Moshe who had this different approach towards the halacha, in as much as we're makabel the Mishneh Berurah, even though it might sound, we might hear Reb Moshe's svara.
Yeah, this is why it's so important, the idea of tziruf, you see. The point is like this. So if you're a Bar Hochi, I would even say, weigh it, Other circumstances. You see clearly that circumstances can be enough of a reason. The circumstances can be enough of a reason. The circumstances can tell you now it's a time to be mekel, or now it's a time to be machmir. Derech Agav, you know what Reb Moshe says concerning wearing a watch on Shabbos? Very interesting. He is matir completely wearing a watch on Shabbos. He says, because it's on the skin, so then it's a malchus. He says, not as tachshit, because he says there is a difference if you put it on top of the sleeve or on the skin. It's not as tachshit. It's als malbush. He says, als malbush. He says, but he comes out. But a yorei shomayim should not do it. A ben Torah shouldn't do it. Because who will know the difference that he's putting it on the skin and not on the shirt, or he's having it here? Or some people will say, "Oh, watches are okay, so why can't I keep it in my pocket?" Or you know how the, you know, with the long chains. That's for sure it's osur, because it's not on the skin. Again, this is a case where Reb Moshe uses the svara lechumre. In other words, you are not allowed, you have to know the circumstances, and the circumstances force you to come out lechumre, even though the halach is 100%, according to him, the halach is 100% muter. The same way, I mean, when you have to make the decision whether to follow the Mishnah Berurah or to follow Reb Moshe, check the circumstances. And the circumstances, like the Mishnah says, the show, you have to judge the show. Is the show better? It's better for the show to be mekel or to be machmir.
In a situation like that, the best thing to do is to call up.
If your posek is available, so for sure you should do that. Like this, say Reb Moshe writes his telephone number in the back of the smithy.
Anyone of us, anyone who hasn't had any shimush,
the ESO, he doesn't have
the feeling.
In this kind of things, you know, like the Gemara says, Meirach Vedoin. There is such a thing that. It says that when Mashiach will have a sixth sense in halacha, meirach v'doin, he'll be able to smell the psak. The Gemara says, incredible Gemara in Shabbos, that when did the Chachomim realize that Bar Kochva is not really the Mashiach? They realize she'eino meirach v'doin, he doesn't have that smell for halacha. So there, that comes only with shimush, when you hear he knock. But in a lower level, we all do it. Like I told you, we all do it, whether we realize we are doing it or we don't realize we are doing it. We do it, right? When we make decision, well, I'm not going to embarrass the person. Okay, so I'm going to have the cookie. I mean, what you are doing is you are being mitzarev. So what? 100%. That's what I mean. This is why it's so important to analyze the Yesoides and see whether that Siruf is justifiable or not, because we do it anyway. Like, at any level, in the most individual level, not as a role, we do it all the time, right? In many, many circumstances, I mean, I'm sure that you can think of plenty of examples that the situation was such that you had to make some kind of a compromise. The point is that there are rules for this compromise, right? And then there is a chush, there is a sense that you have to deal with. You have to be extremely careful. I'll choose another example. let me bring down an interesting tshuva. We had when I was in Mexico, we had this. This mises, this why it attracted me, the tshuva of Rebbe Spesa, the Har Tzvi. He has here in Orach Chaim, Simen Pei, I hope I brought the right chelek, a priest who wants to come into shul, but he's wearing the cross. Do you allow him to come in or not? If he doesn't have the tzura, even with the tzura, yeah. Oh. So yeah, interesting. Kof Masorah. It's not mamish.
It's only a symbol. They don't worship it. It adorns their house of worship.
Right. Oh. What? No. Without it. No. He thinks. Oh, so he says like this. This is in the Simen Pei Hei. So he says like this. I mean, he doesn't come out clearly. I mean, that it's not avoided zore, but he's misupik. So he says like this. What is the shaile? The shaile is loisovi soevo el beisecho. It's a toevo. So he's not sure. He says, first of all, he's not sure whether a beis haknesses is called beisecho. Beisecho has to be your property. A beis haknesses is a property of the rabbi. Maybe that's not included in beisecho. So it's a svara. Loisovi soevo el beisecho.
Talking about the cross itself.
So he's talking about the priest with the cross. We'll see right away when he's mechalek between the two. He says like this. Ulom. But still it's a shaila, because that could be that Beis HaKnesses is called your house. Tremendous nafkaminis la'aloha legabe checking for chomes legabe mezuzah, who is responsible for it. It's a big problem. Who is the Beis HaKnesses?
Depends if he uses it.
Who? No, the priest.
The person.
But the gaboim, the one responsible. Ulam kolze bavoy de zore vadai. Ube machnisoy mamish. In other words, look at the tzdodim here. If I would take an avoid zore vadai and bring it into my own house, that is the real issue. But here there are three tzdodim leheder. Number one, you are not bringing in the cross. The priest is bringing in the cross. All you are doing is allowing the priest of bringing the cross. Maybe that's not included in loisovi. One. Number two, he says maybe beis haknesses, it's not your house. Number three, maybe the cross is not avoid the zore. B'shesiv eire she'ein ze vaday avoid the zore. It's not vaday avoid the zore. So he has three svores that each one is besofek. So therefore, since you have three tzirufim, then you can allow it, because otherwise they're going to get angry, and who knows what they're going to do to us. Again, so it's a tziruf of the Shas Adchag here. It's a tziruf of four things. It's a tziruf of the show, because you are afraid, who knows what is going to start if he wants to come to shul and you don't allow it. Who knows what anti-Semitic things he's going to do, the show. And then a tziruf of three svores, that maybe a shul is not beisecho, maybe the cross is not avoid the zore, and what was the third that I told you? And maybe you're not bringing it in because you're just allowing the priest of coming in. Right? So, because of these four things, it's okay.
Does even Shas and Tefillah? They come to look, observe.
There's no chiluk. I mean, it's not. Why? Aloche, le aloche, when of kemini? Right. they used to come in all the time. I really don't know. At the end, I told you, sorry. At the end, one of them came, and they used to stay for my. I used to say a shir for shalosh shulis. You come for shalosh shulis. They used to say shalosh shulis, and then I mean, at the end, it came out that he wanted to know the method of how he thought that it was some kind of a yeshiva or something, that that's where they studied, like his monastery, and he was comparing the methods used by us as opposed to the methods used in the monastery, and he was like, well, how do you allow so many questions? I mean, we would have been thrown out if we would have asked the same question, things of that sort. At the end, I mean, you wouldn't believe it, one of the priests came, one of them was a Protestant, usually they were Catholic priests, but one Protestant priest came to me for marriage counseling. Actually came to my office. He says that he relies on me. He wants to, you know, he can't go to his friends because, you know, he doesn't want to tell them the story. I should help him. You know, I think I have to help the priest with his marriage problems. Now,
but when a person is learning, like a lot of times, many many tshuvas, many many find that they say kinds of things here, but But sometimes you don't know his sakana and his shasat chak could be that it's a total different one than just an embarrassment. In other words, it could have been a major. I don't know the history when he wrote it, but it could have been it was a shakana.
Yeah, he says that. He says.
So you had to look for a kula.
Yeah, it's true. You get that feeling. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you get the feeling that he's looking for the kula. I mean, that's
but,
clearly the feeling.
Say, to apply that to another situation is very difficult because how are you going to measure when?
That's the problem. I'm not advising to use the method of tziruf. I'm just telling you, you should be aware that the method exists, and whenever possible, check with somebody who you rely that he has that sixth sense to know when to use a tziruf or not. But I'm just telling you that the method is used. It's a common method in halacha. Of course, I mean, I wouldn't advise for a person to rely. I remember we said in the first year that chokhmo bina bodoas. There are questions lehalokhe that you can use chokhmo. Now it's information. Mishabura says such and such, that's the halokhe. Even bino, which means that the Mishabura doesn't say it, but I can figure out by making the parallel between the halokhe and the Mishabura and what the situation is, I see clearly that this fits into that, right? But then there are tshuves that require das, judgment, weighing things, which means that even with all the information you have to make, I don't advise a rov to make da'as decisions. I advise to make bina decisions all the time. Bina is something which is normal. It means not everything has to say in the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah. You can use your seichel and know the comparison. For that, of course. Yes. But that is that what the training should be stressed. Now, the training that should be stressed is the training of bina.
If a person, you know, a person just has smicha, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he has the authority to.
You don't believe in smichas.
What?
You don't believe in smichas.
Yeah, person, it depends for what.
It's true.
A person,
yeah.
Person shouldn't think just because he has smicha.
Absolutely, of course. But I mean, even the learning should be geared on bino learning, which means that if a case comes up, I should be able to make the parallel from the halacha to the case. The das decisions, which means a decision that even with all the information, this is a perfect case. I have the information, right? But still, what do I do with all this information? Right? You have to weigh, you have to judge. For that, I advise, ask somebody who you rely on his chush, on his sense, on his morich bedoyin, on his smell for halacha.
But I'm being, you told it to a crab.
The point is like this: if you rely on yourself, I mean, you come to a point that you feel that you know the halacha. You know the halacha, and
many
then what?
Many times a person could be making a mistake.
Of course, I mean, Eli Doverso. Yeah, but we are talking about a situation that you feel you've come to a level that you feel comfortable with this halacha. Could be one area of halacha, right? Hilchos tzitzis. Okay, so this is the halacha that I know. And a shaila comes up, which is not clearly in the Ramah or in the Taz.
Like
what?
Okay,
depends which Maris, right? I mean, there are some Maris that it's no two colors are exactly the same, right? But it's close enough that you can say it's a parallel, right? But then when you have to make a decision, is it brown, you know, all right, according to those that say brown, is it brown or is it red? I mean, that's something that there's
thing.
No what?
It's just same color.
No.
That's same color, but going through a sugya.
It's not same color. It's not, I don't mean somebody is colorblind. I don't mean. I mean somebody, five people, right? That they are. They all have good eyesight and good color distinction. And you show them, and they'll say red, and the other one will say brown. It's not.
I'm saying.
I'm telling you, Maisim Becholyoim.
If a person goes to a certain posek and he always shows Maris, then after a while he knows that
you start thinking 20, like him, right?
No, after seeing 20 of this you know already that
more or less
okay or not okay. So I'm saying it's a similar, it's a parallel to halacha. I mean, a person if he never had any shimush, he never had any check and balance with a posek, right? And he doesn't know whether his shikul das is okay, then he can't, then he doesn't have a right to.
He doesn't have.
He should make. I mean, he's supposed to.
Right. I mean, the key to everything is shimush. I mean, the key to everything is experience. I mean,
so even in the level of bina.
I mean, even the level of chokmah. Even the level of chokmah. I mean, you learn a mishneh burin, you don't know pshat. I mean, even the level of chokmah. If you don't know pshat, you don't know pshat. I mean, we are saying that it's possible at our levels to reach a level of chokmah and bina in certain halachas. I mean, a yeshiva bocher can sit down and go through. That's what I mean.
Everyone has to realize.
Exactly. That's for sure. I mean, each one has to have a sense of responsibility to know if he's shy up to it or not. There's no question about it. Okay, now, let me give you another example. Again, this is a case of tzedodim lechumre. There is a controversial, I say it's controversial because the Har Tzvi is matir. And he was matir before Reb Moshe came in Aser, but then it became like two shittas. Question is, on Shabbos, where you don't rely on the Eruv, can you wear a cover for your hat? Right? And now it's a nylon cover that your hat shouldn't get wet. Oh, they are making? Interesting. Oh, he was matir. Interesting. So here this is in a tshuve something kuftes here. Kuftes in Reb Moshe, and he answers. And he says like this. Svor is simple. You are not covering your body. You are not adorning. You know, it's not a tachshit, and it's not a malbush. It's only for your head not to get wet. So that's a clear case of itzah. It's something that you don't. You are not wearing it, right? It's not that you are. This is your levush. If it would make you warmer, or if it would keep you yourself from getting wet, then of course that's a malbush. But something which is only used for the head not to get wet, that is not a malbush at all, and therefore you are carrying on Shabbos. And somebody asked them, what are you going to do with rubbers? Right? Rubbers on your shoes? He says, no. Rubbers keep you warmer. That's it. Rubbers keep you warmer. So let me just... now, by the way, rubber space or the Har Tzvi, like you say, other dolim say it's no difference whatsoever because it does keep you warm, and it's part of the levush. You are also wearing it, and there is absolutely no difference between rubbers.
It's warmer because it's part of the levush.
All right, so that is the swore. There are two swores here involved. One is okay. So it like lekule. It's one now one. Because the hat actually keeps you from getting wet. You know, it's because since it's made out of nylon, that's one of the sources where Bish face up. It's made out of nylon. You are going to get less wet if you have a nylon on your head than if you just have a hat. So therefore, it's for you. It's not for the hat. What's the whole point of Reb Moshe? That it's not for you, it's for the hat. That's why it's carrying. Says Reb Moshe Pesach, no, it's for you. It's for you not to get more wet. That was the same thing that we say by the rubbers. And Reb Moshe says it by the rubbers. Because it keeps you warmer, because shoes can let water in and the rubbers will keep more water out. The same story you can say on it. So, Simen Kuf this.
You have to decide what the Iker though is.
What? What do you mean?
Is it the Iker that you're not going to get wet? Or the
Iker
that is the hat
no. It's not Nagia, because if you're going to say that your main purpose is for the hat, but it actually keeps you from getting wetter, then it is good. No. That even Reb Moshe would admit. He just says that's not what it does. Right? I mean, it's telling, it's like a machloikis in Metzias, sort of.
This. Orachaim Kuftes. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I think I brought the wrong chelik, but I just want to tell you. That, for instance, the what he uses here, I mean, Rebbe Shpeisa, for instance, who is Matir, again, I mean, it's a tziruf. In other words, even though the kavone of the person, right, is that his hat shouldn't get ruined, right, but really, he's doing it. I mean, that's why he's doing it. But even though it will have a din bege, because it will keep him from getting wet, right? So you are matir, because after all, people don't want their hats to be to be ruined. In other words, the heter sounds like a tziruv between shasat hak, right? You want to go to shul or whatever it is. Your hat is going to get ruined, so therefore you can rely on the svara that even though your intention is for the hat, right? Everybody agrees that your intention is that your hat shouldn't. Meaning, if it just would be for you not to get wet, right? You wouldn't put on the nylon. That's what we are assuming. But since we don't want your hat to get ruined, right? It's a shasat hak, so you can rely on this svara that it still serves the purpose of not getting wet in order to be matir such a thing, right? So again, the svori of shas of the ashor, the meaning this ashas adchak, people will hesitate from going out in Shabbos because they don't want their heads to be ruined. So you look for the heter again. If the heter would be 100%, you don't need shas adchak, right? But since the merit of the svori is only 99%, let's say, so therefore you have to be mitzaref. That the situation is such that it calls for a heter. Now, there is another very important, I mean, we are talking about tzirufin because of loss of money in much more serious situations. You know, in Hilchos Mikvois, maybe we should spend more time in Hilchos Mikvois. But a regular mikveh today, how is it made? A regular mikveh, you have, let's say, once you get the kosher bore with kosher water, rainwater, let's say, right? Now you want to fill up the mikveh that you are going to use, right? You're not going to use the bore where the water stays there for 6 months, let's say, or for a year. You're not going to use that for tvile mamish. You want to use the next mikveh, the beautiful mikveh that is going to be filled up. Now, how do you fill up that second mikveh, the mikveh that's going to be used? So there are two methods. One method is that you fill up the second mikveh with regular water, but you just make the connection, the hashoke, the connection between the bor and the regular mikveh, and the hashoke is matir the mikveh. But we are machmir, because there are individualist opinions among the rishonim that hashoke won't help in all cases. So we use another method. What's the other method? Of zriyeh. What does it mean, zriyeh? Once you have a kosher bore, right, and you keep adding water, the new water becomes like gitoivel. Right? It becomes kosher water, and when it overflows and it fills up that other bore, the other mikveh, it's called hechsher al yedei zriyeh. And the reason we use it is because there are rishonim that hashoke is not good enough. And this is a situation of chorus. I mean, if the mikveh is not kosher, then it's a situation of chorus. Now, says Reb Moshe, that in a city where there are only limited funds for a mikveh, right, and usually you want to be able to clean out the other mikveh as soon as, whenever possible. Let's say a woman comes, he wants to give you money, clean up the mikveh, fill up the mikveh again. You have to be able to allow them to do that. So you have to, if you have to make through Zriya, it's too complicated. The best way is you just open up the faucet, fill it up with regular water, Alidei Hashoke. He says that if the amount of money or the situation is such that we can't afford Alidei Zriya, the second method, even though there are Rishonim that say that Hashoke isn't good enough, but the Yevet you can rely because of the situation, right? That you only have Hashoke, you know, the connection, you clean up the bath, the mikveh bath, you fill it up, just have the connection between the original bor and this, and then you have a kosher mikveh because Shasat Chag. So here you have a situation that even in a mikveh, which is a shiny of course, because if it's not right, the woman is still a nido. And because of the Shasat Chag, Reb Moshe says that you don't have to do it b'dieved. In a small town, he says, limited funds, of course. Lechatchila do it otherwise. Okay, cool.